Thank you for joining us for The Power of Faith with David Hathaway. It is our hope that you will be inspired and encouraged by today's message. We pray God's blessing upon you as you listen today. Don't forget to visit our website, eurovision.org.uk, for more information on David's ministry. In this episode, David continues teaching from the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting from verse 22. The Apostle Peter addresses the crowd on the day of Pentecost after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The people, convicted by Peter's message about Jesus being the Messiah and Lord, ask him what they should do. Peter responds by urging them to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins. He also assures them that they will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Peter emphasizes that this promise is not just for the current generation, but for all future generations and for people from all walks of life. The passage underscores the transformative power of repentance, baptism, and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of believers. Now, open your Bible and join David for today's word.
The prophecy was that when the Holy Spirit was outpoured on the day of Pentecost, that experience should continue until the second coming of Christ. And I think if you look at the way that Jesus introduced it and the way that he promised it, and if you look at the prophecy of Joel, it was intended that this outpouring of the Holy Spirit would be God's manifestation of power in the church and would last until Christ returns, because it says, before that great notable day of the Lord, that is the day of Christ's return, comes. And of course, in verse 21, you get the simplicity of the gospel message. It will come to pass that under this anointing of the Holy Spirit, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. I see that this has to be taken literally. I take it. I believe Joel's prophecy literally. I believe this prophecy. And I know from my own personal experience that when I, just as a teenager, received the Holy Spirit, it did appear to me exactly as it was on the day of Pentecost. No, I didn't see the tongues of fire, but it did appear to me in my teenage years that when in that day, it was an Easter Monday, in the Westminster Central Hall in London, and when they laid hands on me, to me, it was as if the whole of heaven opened up and fire came down and I was speaking with tongues and I was praising God. And that experience has never left me in the almost 80 years since it took place. I still have the same power, the same anointing. I would only correct it by saying that the power and the anointing is actually stronger and more evident now that I'm over 90 years of age than it was when I was a teenager. So you come to verse 22, and here, men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in front of you. So here, Peter is absolutely clear that according to Scripture, the Jesus, the Son of God, was confirmed and proved, and the evidence was given that he was the Son of God by the miracles. And I'm absolutely convinced that the greatest evidence of the power of God, even today, is seen in the miracles. And I know that when I preach the gospel, I pray for the sick, and miracles happen. And it is those miracles which confirm the truth of the gospel and the power of the gospel. And it happens all the time. It's not just occasionally. That power that that fell on the day of Pentecost, what Peter said about Jesus, still can and should happen today. Of course, he goes on in verse 23 by saying that he was, of course, delivered into the hand of the Romans and the priests, and it's quite clear he was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. So the death of Jesus was not just an accident, but it was planned and prepared by God, because Jesus came to be born, to live and to die, but not only to live, to heal the sick. But when you come to verse 24, God raised him up. And I like the way that Paul puts it in this Authorized Version, which is, God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible that he, being the Son of God, should be held by that. So it says that he was loosed from the pain of death. And in verse 25, David himself, King David in the Old Testament, said concerning Christ, I saw the Lord always. And this is so interesting. I saw him before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. So even David in the Old Testament is speaking prophetically about the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. And it puts it so clearly here in verse 27, the scripture says of concerning Jesus, you will not leave my soul in hell, nor allow my body to suffer corruption. So this is such a powerful miracle that it's speaking so prophetically of the resurrection. Then, of course, the contrast is in verse 29, that what Peter is saying is, brethren, let me speak to you about David, King David. He is dead and buried, and his sepulchre is here. But being a prophet and knowing that God had given the promise to David that the fruit of his loins, his successors, according to the flesh, would raise up Christ. So here is the emphasis that Jesus, if you trace back his ancestry, was a son of David. And this is quite powerful. And in this, in verse 34, even David again is speaking of the resurrection of Christ when he says that his soul was not left in hell, and his flesh was not corrupted and destroyed in death. And in verse 32, then Peter becomes the witness, and he says, this Jesus God has raised up, because we're all the witnesses of that miracle. And then in verse 33, being exalted by the right hand of God and having received the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit. So here, Peter is saying that Jesus himself received the promise of the Holy Spirit, which he has shed abroad now. This is the interesting thing. And in verse 34, David is not ascended into heaven, but he simply spoke of the resurrection. And in verse 36, therefore, let all the house of Israel know that God has made the same Jesus who you have crucified, both the Lord and the Messiah. And you know the impact of this. When they heard this, then they cried out to Peter and the brethren, what shall we do? And in verse 38, Peter gives the answer. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is to you, your children, and to all, even as many as the Lord will call.
This year in Ukraine, we will be holding a day of prayer, uniting communities in a shared spirit of resilience and hope. Your contribution will enable us to create a powerful day of reflection, connection, and strength for those affected by the challenges of war. Our God is about to do great things. His power is on the increase. And he wants to demonstrate his power through you. In 1994, David Hathaway set out to win Siberia for Christ by signs, wonders, and miracles. Over 100,000 received Christ, and over 1,300 miracles of healing were recorded. Why Siberia is the amazing story of what happened and will challenge you to evangelize your city, your nation, and see God's power revealed through you. Why Siberia is now available on Kindle from Amazon. Or visit eurovision.org.uk/shop for the paperback edition of Why Siberia. Thank you for listening to the Power of Faith broadcast with David Hathaway. We would love to hear from you. Contact us by visiting eurovision.org.uk. Also available online are many free teaching resources to help you on your walk with God. David has written many faith-building books to encourage and inspire. Order these online today. Each month, David ministers online and in person. Our ministry is only possible because of the faithful support of so many people. For details on our evangelism and humanitarian relief work, visit eurovision.org.uk. Thank you again for listening.